Waddle and Sylvie, weekdays 2 to 6.
Follow on Twitter at Waddle and Sylvie and at TWaddle87. ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
I could hear how excited Waddle is in the First Midwest Bank studio.
Took all of that money I won betting on the Bears. It got kicked in the marbles by the Patriots and by the the Green Bay Packers.
Yes, yeah, and for good measure, the Rams, too, next week's opponent. Thought the Rams would handle the 49ers.
Really?
Yeah, I did. I had that in one
Sounds
of my
Sounds like some Cap would say. What, because you hate Jimmy G? Is that what that is?
No, I thought the Rams are a better team. Maybe there's a very winnable game on the horizon next
Whoa,
week.
Whoa, you think? We can get to that later.
Yes, and welcome to Bears Monday, a Bears Victory Monday, something that we can certainly get used to. It's all brought to you by your Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Acura dealers. What we like to do today is take many of your phone calls and your emotion about the 5-1 Bears, with certainly some flaws, but... You know, they win and they keep on winning and they...
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
Yes.
Have a Miller Lite look. I mean, there were seasons where 5 wins was a struggle.
Yes.
What are you doing in
there? I'm trying to crank up the yes.
Come on.
Yes.
You could do better.
Yes.
Yes.
Question mark? No, listen, this is the essence of being a Bears fan in 2020. You love the record and you are still left with 1,000 questions. But at the end of the day, you love the record and you sit atop the NFC North. I say Central a lot these days. But and right now, that's what's most important, is that they're 5-1 and they are the division leading team in their in the NFC North.
Yes. This is the way this usually works, is I'm going to start with the positives.
Yes.
And I will work myself up throughout the entire show talking about the negatives. And by 5 o'clock, I usually
you
have
want to
a
move
rant
to
in
Montana.
Me. Yeah, I usually have a rant in me.
Yeah.
Let me give you a few things that I took away from the game on the positive side. OK, I think for the second straight week, we saw from Nick Foles what we would not see from the quarterback that he took over for. That last week, it was the performance on the field, and it was that one-wheel route that he threw to David Montgomery. The way he dissected that play before the snap even happened. That he got them in the right position. Emmanuel Acho broke it down. That on national TV, we saw a quarterback who knows how to do that sort of stuff. And he executed it, too, with a really good throw. Yesterday wasn't great Nick Foles. He certainly needs to be better. But for the second straight week, and we'll play it later. And look, I don't want to go all meathead on you and winning the press conference and what that gets you.
But you will.
But I truly believe that he's a leader of men, and that this guy illustrated this yesterday, and he's been there and he's done that. And I thought he had a good performance in saying, and I think he's got a process to that. Do I believe that Nick Foles is a top 15 quarterback? I don't. We know this floor can be very, very low. We also know that the ceiling can be very, very high. But I thought for the second straight week, Nick Foles stepped up, and he showed you something that the other guy could not do. The other guy's a robot, okay? The other guy's a robot, and if he would have to diagnose the play on national TV against the Bucs, he would not have put the Bears in a chance to win. And if Mitch was on the podium yesterday, he would not have said those things. Okay, a couple of other things. Number two, this Bears defense is better than we thought they were 3 weeks ago.
They're cranking it up as we projected.
They're cranking it up. And we're starting to see now with Quinn, with a healthy Mac, and with Akeem Hicks doing what he's doing, that's obviously formidable. Now, we didn't see the pressures early on. We're starting to see them swarm. We're seeing Fuller swarm. We're seeing Eddie Jackson. Again, we could talk about the officials' calls and what were good calls and what were bad calls. But they're swarming around the football. Roquan was swarming too. I believe they're better than they were in 2019. I'll give you one more thing, too, before I start, like, working myself up and getting pissed, is every team, I heard Greeny say this today, that the Bears, who have the Bears beaten this year? And you know me, I never go to that. I'd like to see, like, I'll say to you, the offense doesn't look good, and will they ever look good? But if you want to see the Bears' schedule and what they've played so far this year, every team they've played this year won yesterday. Every team they played won. The Lions won, the Giants won, the Colts came back and they won. You know, and say what you want about who they've beaten, but the teams, Atlanta won, you know, Tampa won. I mean, those, that should make you feel the best, is that the Bucs team that you beat, that you weren't satisfied beating on Thursday Night Football, because there are obviously some holes, that they went out and they punched your division rival in the face. So you feel better about the team that you beat, and now you're sitting there viewing the division from the top spot. Did I sell you on any of my points?
Well, they're all accurate. I mean, like, anybody who thought the defense was just going to crumble and go away, I think wasn't looking at the personnel or the big picture. Like, the defense, as projected, as we all, I think, all thought, would find its stride and start cranking things up. And that's what we've seen the last couple of weeks. 8 takeaways, 15 sacks on the season. 7 of those sacks and 4 of those takeaways came in the last 2 weeks. They're giving them 337 yards and 19.3 points per game. That's 7th in yards per game and 6th in points per game. This is a top 10 defense. I think it can be a top 5 defense. Don't use 2018 as a measuring stick for anything, because in most instances, that's going to be an anomaly on the high end. And just understand that with this defense, if your offense can consistently produce 23 points, hopefully on the back of 355 yards, not 261 yards, you're going to win so many more than you're going to lose. Because this defense is going to give you an opportunity to win those games. And even when they're not being dominant, they are keeping you in games. So again, offensively, if you want to maintain this nice, wonderful ride that we all find ourselves on, the progress is going to have to pick up. But at 5-1, what you have is a defense that is starting to shake some noggins out there, take the ball away. And what have you seen the last couple of weeks as well? You've seen quarterbacks affected by pressure. One was Tom Brady. This time it was Teddy Bridgewater. A couple of veteran guys. One's the best of all time, and one is a solid young player.
And we saw that from Aaron Rodgers yesterday.
And you saw that, like, any quarterback, I don't care how accomplished they are, they can be rattled at times. So, like, what I take away from yesterday's game is this defense is getting to that championship level. Like, top five. Let's just call it top five. This is becoming, this yesterday and against Tampa Bay, that's a top five defense.
Good.
And that's where they need to be. They need to continue to play like this until this offense can hopefully get up to speed. There will come a tipping point, though. After 6 weeks, you're not there yet. But if you continue to keep your foot on the throat of your own defense for too long, it will come back and bite you. So we need to see this offense continue to try and get better. But geez, Louise, as they say, 5-1. I mean, I couldn't have expected or hoped for a better start.
No, none of us could. You know, we thought they'd lose a game or two in here. I mean, I don't think any of us predicted them starting 5-1.
Listen, they're a fortunate 5-1, but you feel fantastic about two things. Their defense has been fantastic. And you're starting to build a little confidence in your kicker as well, aren't you?
Yes, yes.
And that kicker is really important when your offense struggles to get the ball in the end zone. Now, again,
he's your kicker now, too,
yes,
until further notice.
Look at the 23 points you scored. 3 field goals, 2 touchdowns. The first touchdown was a 3-play, 7-yard drive.
Yeah, I know.
Now, that's reminiscent of 2018. So when your offense is still scuffling along, and we're all hoping for improvement, how much improvement is possible, I'm not 100% sure, but your kicker is going to play a very significant role until that offense finds a way to heat up.
All right, so we could raise the kicker flag. I mean, there's a positive.
I think that's a good positive.
So 312-332-3776. And on Twitter, I've asked you about what best describes. Now, none of the four may be perfect, but what best describes the way you feel about the 5-1 Bears? And we have got a really good race. It's all brought to you by your local Chicagoland Toyota dealer. And I got some really good answers so far that just spread the entire scope of the way Bears fans feel.
Spread it out.
Here are the four choices you have, Waddle. And we have already had 2,200 votes.
I did not include
like a half-hearted yes.
Yes.
So the four I gave that you're thrilled and you're saying Bears, that the 5-1, you're absolutely thrilled and you want to just yell Super Bears, Super Bowl. Number two, B, you're focusing on the positives. You know, there are some weaknesses, but the 5-1 and 5-1 is 5-1. And you are truly just focusing on the positives.
You're just sweeping the empty beer cans underneath your bed.
Okay. That worked for me when I was 19. See, you're conflicted. You see the record. You see the defense. You see the kicker, even. And you see the horse crap offense. Or D, you're looking at them and you're saying smoke and mirrors. You're saying fool's gold. You're saying, as I put on the poll, they're not that good. Vote on my Twitter handle, at Waddle and Sylvie. 34.1% of the voters, Waddle, say focusing on the positives. 23.5% of the people say they're conflicted. 22.2% say they're not that good. And 20.1% say they're thrilled. So you can vote out.
I think this is a good question, and it's a really hard one to answer. On Monday, listen, you just watched the Green Bay Packers get kicked all over Raymond James Stadium or whatever that place is named.
Yeah.
You're sitting atop the NFC North.
Yeah.
Your defense is starting to crank it up. Like, you wait until like Wednesday or Thursday to start biting your fingernails and cracking your knuckles and starting to sweat and...
Or 5 o'clock.
Whatever. I'm just saying, like, as the week goes on and then the reality kind of hits you, then you get a little bit more concerned. Here's the reality. If your defense plays the way they did against Tampa and against Carolina, against teams that can score, and you're gonna win a lot of these games. But think about what happened in the last couple of your offense was given a short field. Like, you beat Tampa Bay because your defense punched them in the mouth and put your offense in a good spot. Like, the Bears never trailed yesterday. That was kind of a different game. But you get to 23 because your defense laid set the table, laid it out for you. 7-yard right. line for your first touchdown. Let's go, offense. Let's start taking some of the pressure off of this defense. Because the Rams may have lost last night, but you know what the Rams do well? They play really well at the line of scrimmage on both sides of the football. Those are the teams that we struggle with a little bit. So they're going to have their hands full Monday.
Yeah, and there's been some really good Bears-Rams games. Well, I don't know really good. They haven't been pretty. But the last 2 years, they've been fights. So we're going to get that a week from today.
I will agree with you on this front, too, okay? Nick Foles has been uneven at best. But there is a certain amount of calmness that goes along with him being under center in some of these games.
Yes, and I'm good with what he said yesterday. Do I think that means he's all of a sudden going to elevate the offense? I don't know. But I like the message yesterday. I like the message, and we'll play you that.
So
look, this is an emotional game. Being a fan is about emotions. What best describes your feeling about your 5-1 Bears? Let's ring it up on a victory Monday, 312-332-3776. Those are our thoughts. You give us yours. We'd love to get out of the way. Have fun with you, the fans, today. We'll play you what Nick Foles said later this hour, too. I thought it was absolutely outstanding. And we'll get to all of your calls coming up as we celebrate Inside Club Dub on ESPN 1000.
Coming up next,
Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Bring Waddle and Sylvie with you at home or in your office. Just tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
Would you rather lose pretty or win ugly?
There you go, Nick Foles. That was the gist of
how long can you win ugly before it gets you? Now, in the immediate run, I agree. Yes, I'd rather lose ugly than win, or win ugly than lose pretty.
Right, right. I just like that he said that they've got guys who are talking it out, and we'll play you the whole thing because he got more heated. I thought it was a good question. I think Mike Berman from NBC asked him the question that got him really going. Was, look, do you have to accept this as who you're going to be on offense, or are there some things that you can do to kind of change it?
All right, let me give you some quick stats before we go to the phones, okay, just to kind of encapsulate things. They were better yesterday on third down. They were 7 of 14 on third down, which is very good. They had 25 carries for 63 yards. That's 2.5 yards per carry against the bottom five run defense. They reached the 23-point mark on 261 total yards. Thank you, defense, for giving us the ball on the Carolina Panthers' 7-yard line. Right now, Nick, who we all believe is the right guy for the job, right? Am I correct?
Well, for what we have here, yes.
He ranks 31st in yards per attempt. He's averaging 5.8 yards per attempt. He's 28th in quarterback rating, which is 80.4. He's 25th in completion percentage. So statistically, we really haven't improved, but you do feel more confident and more comfortable with someone in the huddle that knows where it's supposed to go and understands the offense and is a veteran and does provide the leadership that you heard a clip of just now. All of those numbers, though, between now and the end of this, we get to the postseason, which I believe that they are now a postseason team. I think they will be. That's got to improve dramatically.
Yeah, I am giving him the benefit of the doubt. He started what? That was his third start so far. It hasn't been pretty, but he's been there, and I want to see him execute what he's preaching. So I'll give him the benefit of the doubt and see where this thing goes, and then we can criticize. I have other big issues with why the offense is where they are, but let's take your calls here. 332-3776. Also, a great crowd today on Twitch. It's all brought to you by our friends at Miller Lite. You can watch us and listen to us and interact with us as well on our brand-new Twitch channel. It's twitch.tv/ESPN1000Chicago. Drink an ice-cold Miller Lite and enjoy a victory. Because, look, we haven't gotten a chance to see a lot of our fans here for months and months. So this is virtually the way we do things now.
Get your virtual drink on.
Eddie on the north side, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Eddie?
Eddie dropped.
Okay.
Just dropped.
Big Mike in Lindenhurst. What's up, Big Mike?
What's up, boys? Okay, a couple of comments, and then, Tommy, I got a question for you.
All right.
First of all, watching the Bears is like you can't wait to go on this first date and kiss this girl, and you kiss her, and all of a sudden you get that feeling like you just kissed your sister.
Oh.
Okay? Yes.
Had a pack of Marlboro before she actually got in the car and you guys went to where you were going.
You know what? Both of these quarterbacks will not be on the team the next time the Bears win the Super Bowl. I was very disgusted with the coach and his play calling to run the clock. He elected to pass at the end of the game. And here's my question for you, Tommy. What can we do to improve this offensive line? Because we're never going to run the ball with them.
I think you're kind of locked in, Big Mike. I don't know what you can do. I mean, seriously. You brought the kid in from Green Bay, right? Spriggs is his name, I believe. You could make a change. You could sub him in for Leno. But for the most part, these are the guys you brought to the dance. Now dance. I mean, I don't have a real good explanation on how this can get better quicker or quickly. I just don't. This is a problem.
I mean, is this as good as they get?
Yes.
Yeah. I mean,
the line?
Yeah. I mean,
or the offense?
The line, the offensive line that stinks.
Yes, there's good.
Well, see, see also, like, when things get hairy and the run isn't working, Matt is very quick. And now what we're going to do is we're going to throw the screens. We're going to throw perimeter screens, and then we're going to tell you that that's part of our running game. And when you can run those perimeter screens the way a team like the 49ers or others run them, then I'll buy what you're selling. But when those screens get you 2 and 3 yards, it's just an extension of no good.
You think we need a new offensive coordinator?
I don't think you're going to get that this year, But I, you know, listen.
Think we need one.
Yes, you know how I feel about that.
I think you're going to get to the point where it may end up being necessary. I've been resistant of it for a very long time because Matt's here to do all this stuff. I don't know that he's going to let you take the Denny's menu away from him. As a head coach, his record is spectacular.
The year that Lovie called plays defensively was one of the worst years for his defense. When he had Ron Rivera.
What about Pagano? He can't coach. The guy that's coaching Denver right now, he could coach our defense. What's up with that?
Your defense has taken the ball away four times and sacked seven quarterbacks in the last 2 weeks, and you beat Carolina on the road and you beat Tampa at home. And that Tampa team is, I know they were without Godwin and they've had some injuries, but it's an excellent offensive line. They were running the football on everybody, and it was Tom Brady.
Remind me,
when you hold that Bucs team to 19 points, I mean, you're getting a tip of the cap defense.
Yeah, they played better. I think they've gotten better as the year's gone on. And so I have no complaints right now. And they stopped them. They made the interception when they needed to, when Nagy wouldn't run the ball, and then we didn't have to worry about driving the length of the field there. Yanni's in Rosemont. You're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Yanni?
Yeah, I just want to let you know, why do I feel it? You know, the best is for defense. When we won 1984, defense won the game for us. So I don't know why we are so critical about offense in Chicago. They're going to be better. Defense always be in Chicago. And that's what we need to think. Let's continue to be drinking this BS juice until we win the Super Bowl. Okay? That's what I want to say.
Bears juice. I like it, Yanni.
Let me ask you a sobering question. Okay? I mean, let's be adults here.
Yeah.
I mean, everyone's thrilled they're 5-1. Are they going to win a Super Bowl averaging 21 points per game?
No.
So let's get it better before we drink the juice.
Right.
Before we drink the Bears juice, let's get this offense back pointed in the right direction.
Yes, and there's nothing against being good offensively in Chicago.
Yeah.
That's the craziest
fallback in the history of sports.
Yeah.
This is how we're going to do it, guys. It's going to be ugly on offense, and we're going to wear the hell out of our defense for 16 weeks. By the time we get to the postseason, teams are going to be afraid of our defense, and our defense is going to be exhausted.
George Halas did not put that in the NFL bylaws when he founded the league. That was not a thing. Scott in South Elgin, you're on ESPN 1000. Hey, Scotty.
Hey, what's happening, guys? Happy Victory Monday, question mark?
Yes!
All right, so, yeah, we're 5-1. Thank God Monday is a night game because my wife started looking at me kind of side-eyed when I'm drinking Glenlivet at noon.
Not a problem.
Be a little bit more socially acceptable this time around, but... Yeah, I cannot stand watching Matt Nagy try and scheme Demetrius Harris open on Steve. That's driving me nuts.
Preach,
I can't watch that anymore. I would love to see more seven routes from guys like Darnell Mooney and guys like Anthony Miller who have spark scores through the frickin' roof. So take the training wheels off, let Nick swing it, or let Bill Lazor take over. I'm just going to call in every week and keep saying the exact same thing. I'll hang up. I love you guys.
Thank you. Demetrius Harris had the same amount of targets as our playmaker, Anthony Miller. They had three targets each, I believe.
Yeah, you're going to ride that horse, aren't you, until it falls.
Well, look, I mean, you know how I feel.
And the coach called him a playmaker, so that's his new nickname.
Playmaker.
Yeah.
Yes. We're going to refer to him now as playmaker. We're 8 yards? That's what I get? I get 8 yards? I see. I want to be positive today. Positive. Positivity, at least for the first hour. Eddie on the north side, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Eddie?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
We're good.
Here's the thing. I don't think the offensive line even is that bad. I mean, Foles was protected. I mean, he got that roughing the passer call, and he went down and got banged up. They have no disguise. When I watch football, and I've watched it for years, I know exactly when the Bears are running the ball, and I'm sure they see it too. Maybe it's the quarterback coach where Brady, he'd have two running backs, and you think, wow, he's going to run the ball. no play action. He's back passing in. There's people wide open. It's like you have to disguise the run in order for him to get holes. And I don't know if you know what I'm saying. It's just you see it, and it's so predictable by him. And maybe it's got to come from the quarterback or the offensive coordinator to move it around and disguise the run. And please, you got to get a speedy guy going over the middle like a Waddle or the guy in New England like Brady used to have all the time, and just to open it up and make a quick thing, and maybe these guys on the ends will get open a lot quicker.
Are you talking about Jalen Waddle, or which Waddle are you talking about here, Ed?
Edelman, Waddle, yeah, all them guys. I like to get banged around in the middle.
Listen, there's only so much lipstick to put on that swine creature with regard to the offensive line, and you can disguise it, you can do everything you want. They got to put their hand in the ground, and they got to move people. And in New England, not only did you have the best offensive line coach in the business in Scarnecchia, you always had a very, very good offensive line. It's where it starts. And right now, our guys are not moving anybody.
Yeah. So we want to take your calls on this Victory Monday, 332-3776. I want to ask Waddle about Matt Nagy not wanting to run it on 3rd and 2. Late, and then they threw it again for the second straight week. And look, when it comes to the offense, we could blame Nick Foles. We could blame Matt Nagy's play calling. But this falls at the feet of one man and one man only. And I said that I'm going to be positive, nope. But I can't hold back anymore. Nope. Nope. And I'll share that with you next.
Nope. It's Waddle and Sylvie.
Hi.
Hi. Hi.
Follow us on the gram at Waddle and Sylvie and at ESPN underscore Chicago. This is Chicago's home for sports, ESPN 1000.
It's a Bears Victory Monday, and they are 5-1. We're very happy about that.
Crank it up, mister.
Playing a week from today, Monday Night Football. They get some TV exposure here.
It's going to be a really good game.
Yes, yes. And, you know, the next 3-4 games are going to be tough.
By a really good game, I mean a really close game. I don't know how aesthetic pleasing, unless you love defense, because there'll be two defenses getting after each other.
Yeah, neither of the last 2 years of playing the Rams were really that pretty.
Yeah.
Like, the one on the lakefront 2 years ago was awesome, and it was, the crowd was so into it, and the defense was brilliant, and Mack just shined, and I think he outplayed Aaron Donald in that game. I think they limited Aaron Donald in that game, too.
And he was an offensive puke fest, though.
Yes, right. Like, we were talking about bad quarterbacked games, and we were looking back to that Bears-Carolina game from 10 years ago, and you brought up the Jared Goff-Mitch Trubisky game from 2 years ago.
One touchdown, 7 interceptions combined from the two quarterbacks.
Yes. Look, and again, not to get too negative, but if we're talking about why the Bears' offense is the way they are at, yes, we could go through Matt Nagy running the ball and his lack of commitment and this and that, and at the end of the game, and Nick Foles, does he have to play better? Yes, absolutely, but let's look at the basics, okay? Football 101. Why are the Bears offensively the way they're at?
Because their offensive line is awful.
Well, and who put together that offensive line?
Ryan Pace.
Ryan Pace. Who put together the quarterbacks on this team, including the number 2 overall pick? Like, Matt Nagy is being asked to come in here 3 years ago, and he had a failure with the number 2 overall pick and an offensive line that he thinks he could just patchwork with a bunch of 6th and 7th round picks and recycled guys from the Arizona Cardinals and Seattle Seahawks. Like, you're going to put that line together, and then you're going to be saying, I can't run the football because of the line. Well, where the hell's the GM to fix it? Where the hell's the GM to draft a good wide receiver? Where is this general manager? You cannot go on any further in the years coming up and allow this man to draft one more offensive guy. You cannot. I mean, I know I promised, and I got very little sleep last night. You cannot do it, Waddle. You can't do it. And I love their 5-1, and he signed Akeem Hicks, and he drafted Eddie Jackson, and there were some
traded for Mack,
and there are some good moves there. Make him your defensive coordinator in drafting. You know, you split up the duties on game day. Let him draft defensive guys. Let him draft guys in the 4th, 5th, 6th, and 7th rounds. But don't let him near another offensive draft.
Yes.
Pretty positive. Listen, a five and one. You got to fire the GM rant. I love this. You know you have to, Black. You of all people know that. Hold on. You can't do it. You can't do it. This team is going to the playoffs. They're probably going to host a home playoff game. How do you fire a GM after this? This team is on the path to do that.
Because you don't trust him drafting. And you. The biggest question going into the offseason is, how are you going to get a quarterback? And you're going to allow him?
He's going to get one more chance,
yeah.
I'm telling you.
Yeah.
You're probably right, but we all know it shouldn't be allowed to happen.
He's not good at his job. Here's why it's a muted 5-1 celebration. And it's a celebration. Because I think anyone that looks at this team over the last couple of years plus now, you have seen a defense you can win a championship with. Have they bent at times? Yes. The Ravens bent yesterday and almost lost that game, right? I mean, are they the best defense in the league? They weren't last year. They were in 2018. They're a top five defense last year. They're a top five defense in my mind this year. And you see that defense doing such exciting things. If you just had an offense that was average, like, we would be standing on top of the building celebrating these wins. Like,
or know that you have a long-term future with linemen and a quarterback. What's most important about offensive football? It's the guy who takes the snap every time, it's the guys who block for him.
It's hard to be able to see our team in Tampa at the end of the year, despite how great this defense has been, with what you're watching on a day-in and day-out or Sunday-in and Sunday-out basis on the offensive side of the ball. And I think that's the genesis of where some of the frustration, even on a victory Monday, where it comes from.
And if you could fire Lovie Smith at 10-6, you could certainly fire Ryan Pace because he's bad at his job, even in a winning year. Rick and Zion, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Rick?
Hey, how you doing?
We're good.
Good. I want to talk about the Bears a little bit, but first I just want to say to Tom Waddle that I had met him years ago when I was security at the Woods of Ivanhoe.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah. It's been a long time ago. It was like almost 20 years ago.
Woo!
But I remember meeting you there.
Okay. Hopefully I was a respectable young man at that time.
Yes, you were.
Okay,
you were very respectful. And I was very grateful for that, too.
Well, did you have to ever take away a bottle of Dewars from him or something like that?
No, come on.
No.
Time and place.
About the Bears, though. Why don't they try to trade for an offensive lineman? Or if not that, if they can't do that, at least wouldn't it be a good idea to get a fullback? And I know that's not Nagy's thing, but to get a fullback to help lead block for Montgomery so he can at least be able to get a open sometime and get some good yards. I think that would be a good idea. But what do you think about that?
Rick, if they could find, and thanks for the call, if they could find somebody, a willing trade partner who had an offensive lineman that they were willing to part with for whatever reason, whether it's the Jets because they're in tank mode or it's Jacksonville, whoever it is, I would definitely be interested in talking to them.
Well, what are you talking about, though? Like, I heard Carmen Yurko say they're not trading any more draft capital on this team. You're always chasing every draft.
Well, maybe you got a player that has fallen out of favor or isn't doing what you want him to do.
So like, you're gonna trade for another Fetty?
My phone is going to be active. What is my alternative? To sit around and the only reason Nick Foles isn't getting killed on every drop back is because the ball's coming out in 2.5 seconds.
Right.
Third or fourth fastest release in all of the NFL. It's the only reason why he's standing upright. And even when he does hold the ball a tick longer than that, he's getting his ass kicked.
Yeah.
Like the touchdown pass against the Falcons, he got cracked on.
There were zero sacks yesterday, but I think he was pressured 9 times.
Ball is coming out like lickety-split, okay?
What was it, a 5-yard-per-play average the Bears had yesterday?
Yeah, I mean,
short passes.
Look, statistically, on offense, there's only a few teams that are worse than them in terms of rushing stats. Okay, the Washington Redskins, the Houston Texans, the New York Giants, the Jacksonville Jags. Those are the only four teams that average fewer rushing yards per game. And of those teams, Only the Washington Redskins average less than 4 yards per carry. They average about 3.5 yards per carry. So what does that tell you? Well, the Giants, the Jags, and the Texans may not suck at running the ball, but they're always trailing and they have to throw it. So, like, if you look even deeper into the numbers of the teams that are less proficient running the ball than our guys, I can give you a reason why, if they weren't trailing in all of these games, they were actually better running the football. And, oh, by the way, the Bears average 3.9 yards per carry. They've got, like, 580 yards. Mitch's scrambles account for 16% of those yards.
Oof.
So that's
a little bit misleading too.
Yes, I'm just telling you, it is historically bad, right? Well, not historically bad, but certainly so bad that it is more than a little concerning.
All right, so I tried to be very positive, and I'm very, very happy. Trust me, I'm very, very happy they're 5-1.
Oh, we'll ride with this defense all day.
Let's go. 3-3-2-3-7-7-6. But you want to react to what we just said. We'll continue to take your phone calls. You're going to hear from Nick Foles coming up at 3.
This hour is brought to you by your Chicagoland Acura dealers. Visit any of the 11 Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Acura dealers today or learn more about the Acura MDX at ChicagoAcuraDealers.com.
Chicago's home for sports is on Twitch. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago today.
You're listening to Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
What did you think about Matt Nagy throwing in 3rd and 2?
I was not a fan of it. If you were a more accomplished, like, this is going to sound weird, but if you're a more accomplished passing team, that's fine. If that's kind of what you do, which then would mean you're leaning more on the accomplishments of your running game, which they're not accomplished doing that. Either way, I wanted to see the Panthers burn their last timeout.
Yeah,
so,
right. So they couldn't stop the clock on the last drive if they needed to.
Right. I'm more disappointed that you call timeout, come out, and then get called for a delay of game. Like, all of these things wrapped up together is just a big handful of you know, garbage.
Right. After having a longer week. But at least they still scored a touchdown there. Like, I just don't like on 3rd and 2 that he thinks it's more aggressive to pass. Like, shouldn't you aggressively gain 2 yards and pick up the first down when you have to?
Yeah, that's aggressive. That would have been my choice. Like, I say that because, like, you're not humming. Like, your passing game isn't really humming right now. If you're pick a team that throws it, if that's Aaron Rodgers, or if that's, you know, if that's Russell Wilson, or that's, you know, the Baltimore Ravens or the Tennessee Titans, and they decide to throw it, I can understand it. But it kind of falls into the same category again of picking and choosing when you want to be aggressive and picking and choosing when you want to be cute versus being nasty.
Art on the South Side, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Art?
Hey there, boys. How are you doing today?
We're hanging in.
Good, good. Well, I'm glad the Bears won. It allows me and my wife to enjoy our spring 75s with a nice steak on the deck. But I still tell my family that the Bears suck. You know, what's very easy to see is that Montgomery, when he is either parallel or in front of the quarterback, you know they're going to run the ball, because I don't think Montgomery can block the linebacker from behind the quarterback, or if he's going to when he runs the ball, it's just easy to see. I was disappointed that they threw the ball on the 3rd and 2 because I thought they were going to run the ball outside the tackle, and that's my 2 cents for today.
What do you think, Waddle?
I think there are a lot of teams that run the ball out of shotgun. I mean, I think this team ran the football more effectively, and the stats bear it out, the first 2 games of the season. Now, you face the Colts and you face the Bucs. Those are two of the best run defenses in all of the National Football League. But yesterday you faced the Panthers defense that was bottom 5 in run defense, if I'm not mistaken. In short, their big defensive tackle was out because he's got a shoulder injury that requires surgery. You should have been able to line up and knock them off the ball. Like, If you find out that for whatever reason running the football out of shotgun formation just isn't, you're not as effective doing it for whatever reason, I would hope that they would be flexible enough to get back into the I formation more often, like they did when Mitch was playing the first couple of games.
Big Al in Skokie, my hometown. Hey, Big Al.
Hey, how are you guys?
Good. We're good.
I was at the 1963 championship game, so I'm kind of a longtime fan.
Yeah.
This is only the second time I've ever called in. I called in to a Mr. Kaplan last year before the season started, and I told him the Bears would be 8-8. I think
he
I was right.
He ripped
he
you, didn't
at,
he, Big Al?
He laughed
yeah.
at me.
Yeah, that's right.
He laughed
that.
At me, and I gave him five reasons. You probably won't remember my call, but I'm going to tell you what their record's going to be at the end of this year. It's going to be about the same as last year. They may win one more game. They could be 7-9, but I think they'll be 8-8. I'll tell you why, okay? I'll give you six reasons. The first reason is the coach is calling the plays. He's not paying attention to anything else that's going on. So because he's so involved in that, he's not really a leader. He's letting the he's not seeing the whole game. He's just thinking about what next play he's going to call. And a head coach should be making decisions about everything, allowing his coordinators to do most of the work, but putting his input in important times, making decisions. That's number one. Number two, I think they have a good defense, but it's overrated. One injury will kill that defense. If you lose Akeem Hicks, or you, like you did last year, the defense, they don't have enough depth. They lost some of their depth. Number three, they've been very lucky. There have been three passes dropped in the end zone near the ends of the game, which could have got them either way. Things tend to even out. So they may play well in a few more games and get unlucky. Their end-of-the-game management has never been good under this coach. You've been talking about throwing on third down. It really isn't the issue. If you're going to throw like Aaron Rodgers does and throw those little halfback passes when they're one-on-one, don't throw over the middle where there's hands all up. There's a rush and there's tight coverage when they know it's a short pass. Think about what you're going to do at the end of the game. Their personnel is average to above average. Let's look at the line. You've already been talking about that. That has some deficiencies. Their quarterback is decent. Their running backs are decent. Their wide receivers are decent. I don't see any all pros. I don't see Kareem Hunt. I don't see those kinds of players there. So basically that's what I'm saying for 8-8.
Listen,
you can comment on my comment.
Yeah, thanks, Al. I mean, to say this team's going to end up 7-9 or 8-8 seems completely outrageous, especially when you get the Lions again. You're going to get the Vikings twice. There's nothing that would really surprise me going forward, truly, if this offense doesn't improve. Right now, only the Jags, Broncos, the Washington football team, the Giants, and the Jets are worse than them in terms of points per game. The Jags are 1-5. The Broncos are 2-3. The Washington football team is 1-5. The Giants are 1-5. The Jets are 0-6. And right above those five teams is the Bears at 5-1. Like, you can't maintain your status as the 27th best offense in scoring and think that at the end of the year you're going to be 13-3. It just can't magically happen. So
10-6, I still have them going 5-5 the rest of the way.
Okay, I can buy that for sure. And they'll get into the postseason.
Yes.
Especially
with the extra postseason.
I mean, if you don't improve, if you are at the end of the regular season where you are today with regard to your offensive statistical averages, I find it really hard to believe that you're going to make any noise at all if you get into the postseason. You've got to improve. They have to improve on offense and take some of the pressure off of this defense, or this 5-1 record is going to look like a mirage 6 weeks from now.
Can we go to Demetrius on the south side? Demetrius, you're on ESPN 1000.
Hey, Tommy Silvey, what's going on, fellas?
Hey, what's up?
Yeah, I'm agree 1,000% with Sylvie. Like, I don't want Ryan Pace making another offensive pick, because even if he picked the wide receiver, they don't get on the field. We done sat here and watched this offensive line get old. I wonder what makes the Bears so confident is to keep Ryan Pace as the general manager, because every pick he's not making, we got where maybe Matt Nagy got a point at throwing the ball, because it maybe it's something Matt knows that we don't know.
Of course.
But we all know for sure is that offensive line is terrible. And to think about it, one point I wanted to make to you guys, like, I know we all say Khalil Mack is a great player and all that, and we wouldn't trade it, but we actually wasted that pick, because we're going to have to keep Foles at quarterback, because if we draft another quarterback, we can't put him behind the offensive line, because he's going to end up like Sam Darnold. What you guys think about that?
I said it the weekend, Demetrius, that they traded for Mack. I liked the trade, but it made it absolutely imperative that Mitch had to hit. Because what you did is you gave up your draft currency and you gave up your actual free agency currency to trade for him and then sign him. It made it almost impossible for you to get to the top of the mountain if you had to replace Mitch. And that's where they find themselves right now.
All right, we'll continue that conversation. Also, I want to ask you this simple question. Do you feel better about the Bears offense after you hear the post game from Nick Foles? We'll play that for you in 2 minutes.